This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a beautiful song today and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Yesterday, my dad was talking about the Word, and he continues that discussion today. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but right now, let's hear Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, and then the message.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to study today. Speak to my heart and speak through these lips of clay to those who listen in the great unseen radio audience. Dear Lord God, I cannot see the people, but we know that our God and our Christ sees every person. Thou dost know the need of every heart. I pray that you'll save souls and bless hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading today the same scriptures I read yesterday. Now, many of you heard the message yesterday. Of course, some of you did not hear it. I'm reading Acts 13:42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words, W-O-R-D-S, might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, verse 44 in the same chapter. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God, the word of God. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now, verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all region. Now, beloved, I cannot, it is impossible for me to overemphasize the importance of the word of God. It is impossible to spend too much time repeating over and over again that if the devil could undermine the word of God, he could undermine Christianity, he could undermine God, because God's word is the textbook of the Christian and the Bible. The word of God is the only book and the only message that is authentic and the only message that we can trust having to do with our God and with our salvation and with eternity. Now listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, now get this, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, the disciples, the apostles, had only one message. They didn't preach what somebody believes and what somebody teaches and what the scholars agree upon. They didn't preach that. They preached the word of God, Paul said, when God called him, God who separated him from his mother's womb and called him into the ministry and called him the apostle to the Gentile. Paul said when God called him, he conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, I'm going to talk today again about the word of God and the message of the word of God. Now, listen to me. Being born again, and it is a divine imperative that you be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what the book says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right. So, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now, I've said this many times on the radio, but it'll bear repeating. The only thing that will give you eternal life and make you a son of God and fit you for the kingdom of heaven is the message of the word of God. Now, the message of religion won't do it. You say, I don't think it makes any difference what I believe, just so I'm sincere. Now, if that's true, then the death of Jesus Christ was a great mistake. And the greatest tragedy of the ages, if you can be saved by simply being sincere in what you believe and sincere in what your religion teaches, if that'll save you, then God made a terrific blunder when he turned his head and let the men nail Jesus to Calvary and allowed Jesus to die, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No, sincerity never saved anyone. Sincerity cannot save us. It is by God's grace, through faith, that we are saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth ever. Now all flesh is as grass, and the grass withereth, but the word of God abideth or endureth. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Now let me say this, and then I want to get down to business and really go into detail today and show you how the word of God saves us. Now then, I am a born again child of God, but why am I born again? I stood in the doorway of a little country church 32 years ago plus, and I listened to the man of God, and he read, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But now, how on earth do I find out about Jesus? Where can I get the truth about Jesus? Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now listen carefully. Listen very carefully now. "He that heareth the sincere preacher preach from a sincere heart what he sincerely believes, and the sincere hearer listening with a sincere..." No, Preacher Green. No, Brother Green, you're wrong. Yes, I'm wrong, and I did it intentionally. No, Jesus didn't say, "He that heareth the sincere preacher preach sincerely what he sincerely believes and sincerely..." No, there's no sincerely in it. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word..." Not he that heareth Oliver Green, not he that heareth the Baptist, not he that heareth the Methodist, not he that heareth this or heareth that, but he that heareth my word. Well now, what is the word? The Bible tells us in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, if you want to know the truth about Jesus, if you want to know the truth about salvation, if you want to know the truth about heaven and the truth about hell, you must get it out of the Word of God. That's the only place to get it. Now then, I'm saved. Why am I saved? John 5:24, I just quoted it. "I heard the word." That night when the minister preached, he said from the Bible, he read it from the Bible, he gave the chapter and the verse, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now I read in the Bible. He read in the Bible, and he read to me John 3:16, and here's what it says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus of course, and he gave Jesus his only begotten Son, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And the preacher said to me that night, he said, "Brother Green, call me Oliver." He knew me. He knew me. He taught me in school. He was a professor. He himself, of course, was in college. And he taught part-time to make enough money to go to school. And he knew me, and he called me by my first name. And he said, "Oliver, do you believe John 3:16? I said, "I've always believed John 3:16. I've always believed there's a God. I've always believed there's a Jesus." He said, "Yes, intellectually." But he said, "You've never believed it with your heart." Well, now, what does it mean to believe with heart? All right, I'll tell you. In Romans 10:10, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." Heart belief is trust. Heart belief is faith, saving faith. You must believe with the heart. You must exercise faith from the heart. Well, what does it mean to exercise faith from the heart? All right, I'll tell you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. The preacher said the wages of sin is death. The preacher said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The preacher said that God so loved me that he gave Jesus. And Jesus came not to condemn me, but to save me. And if I believe, I'm not condemned. But if I do not believe, I am condemned. And the reason I'm condemned is because I do not believe. Now, what must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with the heart. But what does it mean to believe with the heart? It means to trust Jesus, though I've never seen him. I've never talked to him face to face. I've never touched him with my hand. But I see him in the Word of God with the eye of faith. I believe the Bible. I believe God sent Jesus, and Jesus came, and I believe they nailed him to a cross, and I believe he died, and I believe they buried him, and I believe he rose again the third day. I believe that, and I trust in Jesus. Jesus, the crucified, the buried, the risen Lord. I believe in him. I believe the Word. I heard the message in the Word. That's the only place I can find the truth. I heard the truth. I heard the message. I believe it. And that's faith. That's faith. And you'll never go to hell trusting in Jesus Christ's shed blood. You'll never go to hell believing on Jesus as your personal Savior. All right, now let's go a step further. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the Gentile, or the Greek also. For therein, the word, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, I don't learn about the righteousness of God in an English history book, in a history book of America, that is, American history. I don't learn about the righteousness of God in a geometry book, or a reader, or an English literature book. I don't learn about the righteousness of God except in the Bible. And here's what I learn: that no flesh should glory in God's presence. God hath made Christ to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians 1, 27, 8, 9, 30. Read it all. That is the word of God. God made Christ to me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, I've believed on Jesus. I have trusted Jesus. I have received Jesus with all of my heart. Therefore, I have wisdom. I have righteousness. God's right. God's right. Not mine. God's righteousness. The righteousness that God imputed. You do not attain righteousness by good living. You do not become righteous by doing or giving or living. You become righteous by God imputing righteousness. So I believed on Jesus. I trusted Jesus. I received Him as my Savior. And God imputed righteousness. Well, now, how did God do that? Well, when I believed on Jesus, I was born of the Spirit. But how? Born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. As many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Which were born. Not of blood, that is man's blood, nor of the flesh, that is man's flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. God does the borning. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Green. Wait a minute, Brother Green. Now, that's where you and I must stop and do a little reasoning. Now, that's what you're saying. Some of you are saying, Now, Mr. Green, I do not understand how God borns me into the family of God. I do not understand how God borns me into Christianity. I don't know how I become a Christian by God borning me. I believe God. I believe Jesus died. I believe in the shed blood. Now, how does God born me? I'll tell you something that's better than that, friend. You explain to me the physical birth. God bless you. You explain life. Now listen, I know from the scientific standpoint and from the standpoint of chemistry, doctors and men, now I don't know, but they know. I mean, they can give you a scientific formula, or they can talk to you from the standpoint of science. But mister, you explain physical life. You go on and explain it. Just go ahead and explain it. Now, if you can't explain physical life, then why do you stutter and stammer when I tell you that you believe on God, believe in Jesus, put your faith in the shed blood, and God will born you, and God will make a new creature out of you, and God will make a Christian out of you, and God will put divine nature in you, and God will give you a new heart and a new spirit and a new life. Now, don't stutter and stammer and say, I don't understand it, because you don't understand physical life. No, sir, you don't. I'll tell you one thing. The Russians, the Germans, the Americans have been trying for centuries to manufacture life. But, mister, they haven't. They've never manufactured a little newborn baby, and God bless you, they never will. Now, you put that down. Now, listen, I say to the people who say, I cannot accept the new birth because I can't understand how me, I'm here, and I believe the Word of God, and I say from my heart, I trust in Jesus' blood. I can't understand how that could do anything for me. Well, now, don't stutter and stammer and argue about that when you can't even explain physical life. God bless you. Don't try to explain divine life. Now, God Almighty is the author of life. God is the author of physical life, and God is the author of spiritual life. And you can't explain God and don't start trying. And you might as well stop trying to build a man. You'll never build one. God created Adam, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, you can't do that. You can't do that. Man has tried for centuries, but he never has and never will. But I tell you what you can do if you will. God Almighty created you with a mind and with a heart and reason. And you know there is a supreme being. There is a God over yonder somewhere. And the only authentic record we have of God is in this Bible. And Jesus said, if I would hear his word and believe his word, God would born me into heaven's family. Now, I know it works because I did it over 32 years ago. In fact, it'll be 33 years in September of this year, 32 years ago plus, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus. I believed his word. I received him by faith, and he saved me. I don't doubt it. I know I'm a child of God. You know how? I have the witness of God in my heart. Now, I was about to leave out one of my most precious and one of my most beloved verses. Listen. Of his own will. Now, this is God Almighty. Well, let me read. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father, God the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God the Father of his own will, of God's own will, begat, B-E-G-A-T, begat us. How did God beget us? How did God born us? Here it is. With the word of truth, with the word of truth, with the word of truth, God begat us. 1 Peter 1:23, the word, the incorruptible seed. God begat us. I mean, born again Christians are begotten of God, and God begat us with the word of truth. James 1:18. Now, if you ever step inside the pearly gates and walk upon the streets of gold, it'll be because you heard the word, received the word. You put your faith and trust in the Christ. The Christ, the word tells us about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, when the Gentiles heard the word that the apostles preached to the Jews, they said, we want to hear this same word next Sabbath. And the whole city came out to hear the word. And they preached the word, and they believed the word. And their hearts were changed, and they became Christians. You become a Christian by hearing the word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How does it happen? Hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, may someone hear the word today. May someone receive the engrafted word. May someone believe on Jesus and be saved. Right now, save that soul that's nearest hell, O God. Reclaim the backslidden and revive believers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and in the few minutes I have left to share time with you, I would like to spend that time telling you about our gift offer I. We put this offer together with thoughts of Easter in mind. It's just around the corner, a wonderful season to celebrate, and I wanted to make this offer special with that in mind. Now, it has three books, one by my dad, one by my mother, and one by a great man of God who lived many, many years ago that my dad admired as a preacher and teacher. And all of this is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can when you ask us to send you our gift offer I or the Easter offer. And in return, I'm going to send you first a book by Dr. A.C. Dixon entitled Heaven on Earth. If you've never heard of this man, you need to look him up and read a little about him. He was a great thinker and teacher of God's Word, and this is no exception. Heaven on Earth is 119 pages long, a hardback book containing 13 chapters, and I know you will be blessed as you read and study each chapter. Then we have Heavenly Pearls of Truth, written by my mother. Actually, it's a collection of 12 articles that we have gone back through the Gospel Hour News newspapers and pulled these out. She had a message and article each month in the Gospel Hour News, and these are 12 of what we feel like are the best ones. A perfect bound book, 141 pages long. Finally, Glimpses of Heaven. Now again, we have assembled this book, a perfect bound book, 164 pages long, containing 5 sermons by my dad about heaven. He was a great speaker and a great student of the Bible, and I know you'll enjoy this book as you read it, Glimpses of Heaven. So, to get all 3 books by my dad, my mom, and Dr. Dixon, just ask for Gift Offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.